So we have, I believe, number two. The chapter is entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Sounds very exciting. So, you can chant after me. We can chant this one and then I go back and chant number one and then with two. Jnananistha jade jani kabhyani atmatyam icchata daivicha tat abhavesyat itarebhyo jatarhata. Jnananistha jate jani kabhyanyatma kabhyanyanantyam icchata daivichatat abhabhesyat itarebhyo jatarhata. Jnananistha jate jani kabhyanyanantyam icchata daivicha tat abhavesyat itarebhyo jatarhata. Please chant. Jnananisthaya. To the impersonalists, or the transcendentalists desiring to merge into the supreme, the Jnani, to be given in charity, Kabhyani, ingredients offered to the forefathers as oblations, Anantyam, liberation from material bondage, Ichchata, by a person desiring, Daive, the ingredients to be offered to the demigods, Cha, also, Tat Abhave, in the absence of such advanced transcendentalists, Siat, it should be done, Itarebhya, to others, namely those addicted to fruitive activities, yatha artaha, comparatively or without discrimination. With discrimination. Translation. Actually, because, you know, the other one is really, I'm going to go back to number one and then read both translations. Text number one. Si Narada Uvacha Karmanishta Dvija Kechit Taponishta Nirpapare Swadhyayenye Pravachane Kechana Jnana Yogajo. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Narada Muni continued, "My dear King, some brahmanas are very much attached to fruitive activities. Some are attached to austerities and penances. And still, others study the Vedic literature. Whereas some, although very few, cultivate knowledge and practice different yogas, especially bhakti yoga." Text number two. "A person desiring liberation for his forefathers or himself should give charity to a brahmana who adheres to impersonal monism, jnana nishta. In the absence of such advanced brahmana, charity may be given to a brahmana addicted to fruitive activities, karma kanda." Purport. There are two processes by which to get free from material bondage. One involves jnana kanda and karma kanda, and other involves upasana kanda. Vaishnavas never want to merge into the existence of the Supreme. Rather, they want to be everlastingly servants of the Lord to render loving service unto Him. In this verse, the words anantyam icchata refers to person who desire to achieve liberation from material bondage and merge into the existence of the Lord. Devotees, however, whose objective is to associate personally with the Lord, have no desire to accept the activities of karma kanda or jnana kanda. For pure devotional service is above both karma kanda and jnana kanda. Anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmani anavritam. In pure devotional service, there is not even a pinch of jnana or karma. Consequently, when Vaishnava distribute charity, they do not need to find a brahmana performing the activities of jnana kanda or karma kanda. The best example in this regard is provided by Advaita Goswami, who, after performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father, offered charity to Haridas Thakur, although it was known to everyone that Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, not a Brahmana family, and was not interested in the activities of jnana kanda or karma kanda. Charity, therefore, should be given to the first class transcendentalist, the devotee, because the shastras recommend muktanam apisidanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma kosti shwapi mahamune. Quote, "O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna, Such devotees, who are fully peaceful and extremely rare. End of quote, Bhagavatam 6.14.5. A Vaishnava is in a higher position than a jnani, and therefore Advaita Acharya selected Haridas Thakur to be a person to accept his charity. The Supreme Lord says, Name Bhaktas Chaturvedi Mat Bhakta Swapacha Priya Tasmai Deyan Tato Grahyam Sacha Pujyo Yatahyaham. Quote, Even though a person is very learned, a scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respects should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are worshipable as I am. Haribhakti Vilas 10.127. Therefore, even if not born in a Brahmana family, a devotee, because of his devotion to the Lord, is above all kinds of Brahmanas, whether they be Karmakandis or Jnanakandis. In this regard, it may be mentioned that Brahmanas in Vrindavan who are Karmakandis and Jnanakandis sometimes decline to accept invitation to our temple because our temple is known as the Angareji temple or the Anglican temple. But in accordance with the evidence given in the Shastras and the example set by Advaita Acharya, we give prasadam to devotees regardless whether they come from India, Europe, or America. It is the conclusion of the Shastras that instead of feeding many Jnanakandi and Karmakandi Brahmanas, it is better to feed a pure Vaishnava, regardless of where he comes from. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.30. Apichet sudara charo bhajatet man ananya bak sadur eva samantabhya samyak vyavashito hyasad. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated. Thus, doesn't matter whether a devotee comes from a Brahmana family or a non-Brahmana family. If he is fully devoted to Krishna, he is a sadhu. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitanyena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Adi Satarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvya Shakri Pasindu Vyeva Chapati Danam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So I'm going to read the summary of this chapter given by Srila Prabhupada. Just, you know, he's starting the new chapter, so we get an overview and then try to discuss a little bit these two verses. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, summary. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. The summary of the 15th chapter is as follows. In the previous chapter, Sri Narada Muni proved the importance of the Brahmana in society. Now in this chapter, he will show the differences between different grades of Brahmanas. Among the Brahmanas, Some are householders and are most attached to fruitive activities or the betterment of social conditions. Above them, however, are brahmanas who are very much attracted by austerities and penances and who retire from family life. They are known as vanaprastas. Other brahmanas are very much interested in studying the Vedas and explaining the purport of the Vedas to others. Such brahmanas are called brahmacharis. And still, other brahmanas are interested in different types of yoga, especially bhakti yoga and jnana yoga. Such brahmanas are mostly sannyasis, members of the renounced order of life. As far as a householder are concerned, they engage in different types of scriptural activities, especially in offering oblations to the forefathers and giving charity to other brahmanas. The paraphernalia engage in such sacrifices. Generally, the charity is given to sannyasis, brahmanas in the renounced order of life. If such sannyasi is not available, the charity is given to brahmana, householder engaged in fruitive activities. One should not make very elaborate arrangements to perform the Shraddha ceremony of offering oblations to one's forefather. The best process for the Shraddha ceremony is to distribute Bhagavat Prasad, remnants of food that has first been offered to Krishna, to all of one's forefathers and relatives. This makes the first class Shraddha ceremony. In the Shraddha ceremony, there is no need to offer meat or eat meat. Unnecessary killings of animals must be avoided. Those are in the lower grades of society prefer those who are in the lower grades of society prefer to perform sacrifices by killing animals. But one who is advanced in knowledge must avoid such unnecessary violence. Brahmanas should execute their regulated duties in worshipping Lord Vishnu. Those who are advanced in knowledge of religious principles must avoid five kinds of irreligion known as Vidharma, Paradharma, Dharmabhas, Upadharma, and Chaladharma. One must act according to the religious principles that suit his constitutional position. So I read that again. One must act according to the religious principles that suit his constitutional position. It's not that everyone must adhere to the same type of religion. A general principle is that a poor man should not unnecessarily endeavor for economic development. One who refrain from such endeavors but engages in devotional service is most auspicious. One who is not satisfied with his mind must fall to degradation. One must conquer lusty desires, anger, greed, fear, lamentation, illusion, fright, unnecessary talks on material subjects, violence, the four miseries of material existence, and the three material qualities. That is the objective of human life. One who has no faith in the spiritual master, who is identical with Sri Krishna, cannot get any benefit from reading Shastra. One should never consider the spiritual master an ordinary human being. Even though the members of the spiritual master family may think of him as such, meditation and other processes of austerities are useful only if they help in advancement toward Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there is simply a waste of time and labor. For those who are not devotees, such meditation and austerities cause fall down. Every householder should be very careful, because even though a householder maybe try to conquer the senses, he becomes a victim to the association of relatives and fall down. Thus, a grihasta must become a vanaprastha or sannyasi, live in a secluded place, and be satisfied with food gotten by begging from door to door. He must chant the Omkara mantra or Hare Krishna mantra. And in this way, he will perceive transcendental bliss within himself. After taking sannyas, however, if one returns to grihastha life, he is called bantasi, which means one who eats his own vomit. Such person is shameless. A householder should not give up the ritualistic ceremonies, and a sannyasi should not live in society. If a sannyasi is agitated by the senses, he is a cheater influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. When one assumes a role in goodness by starting philanthropic and altruistic activities, such activities become impediments on the path of devotional service. The best process for advancing in devotional service is to abide by the order of the spiritual master, for only by his direction one can conquer the senses. Unless one is completely Krishna conscious, there is no chance of falling down. Unless one is completely Krishna conscious, there is a chance of falling down. Of course, in performing ritualistic ceremonies and other fruitive activities, there are also many dangers at every moment. Fruitive activities have been divided into 12 portions, because performing fruitive activities, which are called the path of Dharma, one has to accept the cycle of birth and death. But when one takes the path of moksha or liberation, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Archana Marg, one can get relief from the cycle of birth and death. The Vedas describe these two paths as Pitrijana and Devajana. Those who follow the path of Pitrijana and Devajana are never bewildered, even while in the material body. A monistic philosopher who gradually develops control of the senses understands that the objective of all different ashrams, the status of life, is salvation. One must live according to the Shastras. One must live and act according to the Shastras. Last paragraph. If one is performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, becomes a devotee, even if he is a grihastha, he can receive the causeless mercy of Krishna. The objective of a devotee is to return home, back to Godhead. Such devotee, even though not performing ritualistic ceremonies, advance in a spiritual consciousness by the supreme will of the personality of Godhead. One may actually become successful in a spiritual consciousness by the mercy of a devotee, or one may fall from spiritual consciousness by being disrespectful to devotees. In this regard, Narada Muni narrated the story of how he had fallen from the Gandharva kingdom, how he was born in a Sudra family, and how by serving exalted Brahmanas, He became the son of Lord Brahma and was reinstated in his transcendental position. After narrating all these stories, Narada Muni praised the mercy received from the Lord by the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira, after hearing from Narada, he became ecstatic in love of Krishna, and then Narada Muni left the place and returned to his own place. Thus, Sukadev Goswami, having described various descendants of the daughters of Daksha, ends the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a summary of this chapter, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. And focus basically on brahmanas and the different levels of brahmanas within the Vedic social structure or the vanashram structure. So I read the two first verses again, and then let's try to discuss about it. Thank you, bro. So, texts 1 and 2. Narada Muni continued, "My dear king, some brahmanas are very much attached to fruitful activities. Some are attached to austerities and penance, and still others study the Vedic literatures, whereas some, although very few, cultivate knowledge and practice different yogas, especially bhakti yoga." So, Prabhupada explains in his summary the different classes of brahmanas that follow different portions of the Vedas. So first, the brahmanas were very much attached to fruitive activities that follow the portion of the Vedas called the Karma Kanda. And these are bona fide instructions for achieving these three of the five goals that are there for human beings. It is explained that is there is five goals: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, which are generally known. But the fifth goal is prema, pumartha. Is the highest of all goals. So the karma kandis, they focus on the three first goals: dharma, artha, and kama. And they're not very much interested in liberation. They're just interested in becoming, elevating their facility for artha and kama, for basically enjoying, for having a better life, for having a better material situation, artha, and for having a better material situation, you can have a better sense gratification, kama. And for that, they're very much attentive to cultivating all these Vedic instructions, religious principles. So these are the Karmakandis, brahmanas. They're not considered transcendentalists. They're considered materialistic. However, they're still within the Vedic culture. They're considered civilized Aryans. So, and then you have those who are attached to austerities and penances, and they follow the Upasana Kanda of the Vedas, that focus more on this, the fourth goal, which is moksha, liberation. And those are called transcendentalists. And those two transcendentalists, there's the monistic ones, the Jnana Kandis, and also the Jnana Kandis, the impersonalists, but also yogis that are trying to connect to the super soul, but they still don't have a conception of the personality of Godhead. So both are transcendentalists, and they're very much attached to performing austerities and penances and study the Vedic literatures. So the yogis and the jnanis. And their focus, their goal is to become free from material existence. And because they don't have a conception of the personality of Godhead, then their goal is to merge into the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. And then you have Brahmanas, and they explain that they're few because they are the Bhaktas, those who not only understand this jnana, but they're able to apply the knowledge of I'm a spirit soul, I'm Brahman, and being able to have a perfect connection with the Absolute Truth in his complete feature, which is, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they can act in the understanding, they can act in the spiritual understanding. The impersonalist, there is no action. It's just like a state of suspension. There's nothing. So there's no, the action for the impersonalist becomes, you know, something that they want to, they reject. Activities, action, they reject. Their goal is to merge into this effulgence of the Lord, which is an all-pervading energy that have no variety and has no no activities. So the transcendentalist, who is the Bhakta, he's acting as a spirit soul. He's acting in the relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're explained that very few. And Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita too. In Manushyanam Sahasresu, that verse. Kashchit, I'm pretty, say it or complete. The translation in paraphrasing is that out of many thousands of men, maybe one will endeavor to understand the Absolute Truth. And of many of those who try to understand or advance in transcendentalist, as a transcendentalist, hardly one knows him in truth. So to understand fully the relationship with the personality of Godhead, those are they're few. In general, this is what is explained among so many people. One who becomes a pure devotee is there is not, you know, the common thing. And then the next verse, a person desiring liberation for his forefathers and himself should give in charity to a Brahmana who adheres to impersonal monism, jnana nishtha. In the absence of such advanced Brahmana, charity may be given to a Brahmana addicted to fruitive activities. So Prabhupada help us understand this. It's not that we're recommending now that find an impersonalist and in order to be able to give charity. In this situation, in the context that we're hearing right now, is a Vedic society in which you have people that is going through the different stages of society, and it is explained that in this civilized society you have householders that have to perform the Vedic rituals, and the natural evolution of the householder in this Vedic society is that as he trying to better his family's material situation, the prescription is all these Vedic sacrifices. And while doing these Vedic sacrifices, naturally, he's also being purified, because there's, along with sacrifices, there's also the sacrifices are performed for Lord Vishnu. There's deity worship. So there's all this whole structure that is designed to help the person, you know, reform, become elevated spiritually. So the natural succession is that from householder life, in which you have to deal with economic development and, you know, your material situation, then the performance of sacrifices according to the Vedas is done. And then the natural thing that happens is that you move, as you also progress materially, you also progress spiritually. And then you come to the next stage, which is Vanaprastha. And in Vanaprastha, the Brahmana start to become absorbed in austerities and penances. And then when the next stage is just to focus in cultivating the Vedic knowledge, jnana kanda, the jnanis, and teaching to others, teaching the Vedas to others, especially this the part that deals with your spiritual nature. If we remember, if we go back to the descriptions of the sannyasi. He understands the spiritual knowledge and he goes and travels and teach that spiritual knowledge. So now the sannyasi could be the initial stages of sannyasi in this succession. In this social structure, because the sannyasi is still within the social structure, and the beginning stages of the sannyasi is still within the impersonal conception. So the explanation here is that you give charity to the highest transcendentalist within the social structure, and that is the sannyasi. If the sannyasi is not there, then you look for at least someone who is a brahmana who is follower of the Vedas. So you're trying to find, when you're offering respect and giving charity, you look for the highest qualified person, as is understood in society. Now, when it comes to a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava is higher than all, and that's what Prabhupada explained in the purport. The Vaishnava doesn't fall within this social structure. It's beyond the social structure. Because a Vaishnava could be in this renounced order of life, but a Vaishnava also could be within the household of life. And a Vaishnava even could be completely outside the four varnas. A Vaishnava could fall even, you know, in the situation of Haridas Thakur, who took birth in the family of Melechas. Melechas are considered outside the four varnas, the four, you know, what is called the civilized structure. Is outside of that. So the Vaishnava is beyond this whole social structure. And the Vaishnava is considered the highest of all. Why? Well, again, from the verse of one who understands, one who understands his relationship with the personality of Godhead, someone who is acting, who understand his nature as a spirit soul, but also what are the activities of the spirit soul and the relationship that the spirit soul have with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he's the highest of all. And therefore, the best recipient for any service, for any charity, is the Vaishnava. And Prabhupada quoted the example of Srila Advaita Acharya while performing the Shraddha ceremony. This was in Navadvip prior to Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Advaita Acharya was very close to Haridas Thakur. And Advaita Acharya, being the most elevated Vaishnava in Navadvip, he immediately could understand how elevated was Srila Haridas Thakur. Although Haridas Thakur has taking birth in the family of Melechas. Because he was a pure Vaishnava, Srila Advaita Acharya could understand how elevated he was. So now during this time, Navadvip was considered like a mecca of Vedic knowledge. So it was, I don't know, something like Cambridge or something like that, or where Harvard and MIT is, no, in Boston. something like that. So a place of higher learning. And Brahmanas were very wealthy and very proficient. The best of Brahmanas were there, the most knowledgeable, the most proficient in what they were doing. And of course, they were proud because they were not necessarily pure transcendentalists. So a very strong caste Brahmana culture was there in Navadvip, the Smarta Brahmanas, what is called. And there were also all kinds of other followers of the Vedas. Advaita Acharya, when he made this big Shraddha ceremony, then you give the first plate of prasadam to the highest personality. So it's an honor. It's basically choosing the highest person in the audience, and then you give the first, a plate of prasadam, and acknowledge, this person and as the most elevated personality in the assembly. Something similar that happens during the Maharaj Yudhisthira Rajasuya sacrifice, in which the whole world, all the kingdoms of the world, were, they came to Indraprastha to celebrate the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And then the highest person who was going to give the first honor have to be chosen. So all the people assemble, which was, the greatest personalities in the world, they immediately agreed that Krishna should be given that honor. So all but few, headed especially by one, Shishupal, he became for him that was the most horrible choice that, could be taken, because he say, how can you choose Krishna when there's Bhishma Dev and with his, so many great personalities, and then you choose this cowherd boy, anyway, he went nuts. But so similarly, Advaita Acharya choose the highest person, and then he choose Haridas Thakur. And some of the Brahmanas that were there became really angry. Specifically, there was one Brahmana that became really angry. I think his name was, what was the name? Starting with C. I didn't prepare, so I can, but I can't remember his name. But the fellow became really upset. And he's starting to confront Advaita Acharya that how, he lost his mind. How is that he's choosing this Mohammedan as over, so many, Brahmanas, like teachers, that Brahmanas were accepted as authorities in so many different parts of the Vedas that were there present, and then he chooses, Haridas Thakur. He was really upset. And Advaita Acharya even become more upset. So, Advaita Acharya kicked this Brahmana out, and much later, this Brahmana was found he was attacked by some heavy, heavy, heavy leprosy that his body basically melted because of his offense to Srila Haridas Thakur. So the point is that the best person is the Vaishnava. And charity to a Vaishnava, service to the Vaishnava is the greatest choice. Something similar to what we spoke yesterday about, you know, the importance of serving the devotees, you know. And Prabhupada explains in the summary the example that Narada himself gave, and later we're most likely gonna hear about it. There were some amazing things said in this summary that I can't wait, you know, to go to the verses and be able to hear in a little more details, you know, Prabhupada's explanation about different things that were said there. But one of the things is Narada giving the example of himself, how the greatest fortune is to find a Vaishnava and being able to serve a Vaishnava. That's the greatest fortune that one can have. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva. Guru Krishna Prasadapai Bhakti Vlata Bij. That finding a Vaishnava is considered the most fortunate thing that can happen to us, because the Vaishnava plants within our heart the seed of devotional service. And although devotional service is so rare, that you can see that, you know, that like so many people have to go to, especially in the Vedic structure, it takes lifetimes to come to the position of bhakti. It takes lifetime. What is the verse? Out of many thousand, Jnana van man prapadyante. Daivihiesha gunamayi. No. Jnana van man prapadyante. That after many, many births, one eventually, after many, many births, eventually one come to the end of all knowledge. Jnanavam mam prapadyante. And then when we come to the end of all knowledge, then is you surrender to Krishna. Bahunam jammana ante, jnanavam mam prapadyante. Bahunam jammana ante. After many, many thousands of verses, this jnani that we're talking here, the jnani, which is, you know, the one who focuses fully in his spiritual nature and coming to liberation, the monistic, the jnani, after cultivating this knowledge, this jnana, this Vedic knowledge, for many thousands of life, he comes to the end. He comes to the highest. And the conclusion is prapadyante, surrender. Surrender to Krishna. And then Vasudeva Sarvangiti. He accepts Krishna as everything. Samahatma Sudurlaba. Very rare, this personality. So something so rare that is not easy to achieve. It takes thousands of life in this regular Vedic structure. One can receive regardless of one's position, one can receive from the Vaishnava devotee. And, you know, that which takes thousands of lives, we receive. So therefore, that's like, I guess for, you know, a gross example is, you know, for the person who are constantly playing, you know, that silly lottery thing, that, you know, they're looking at the, you know, finally, you know, you hit the jackpot and then you get the whatever, so many millions of dollars. Oh, the fortune, how fortune. Out of many thousands of people, then just one, you know, hits right there. So the position of coming in contact with a Vaishnava is a very fortunate thing. So Narada Muni explains that in his life. So, and what is the most unfortunate thing that can happen to someone? That although you find a Vaishnava by great fortune, you offend the Vaishnava. So offending a Vaishnava is the greatest misfortune that can happen to someone. So Narada Muni explains that, you know, because in his life, in his previous life, he offended a devotee, and he was cursed to take birth as a sudra, Narada Muni. So he took birth in a sudra, with a sudra mother, with no father. So really hardship, really hard situation. But when these great personalities get cursed by some other great personality, they usually, the curse has a two part, has a suffering part and has an amazing benediction. So Narada Muni, in his previous life, he took birth as a child with this sudra mother, single mother, and he had the opportunity to reform himself by serving the devotees. So he was able to serve the devotees, and by serving the devotees, he again regained his Krishna consciousness, and he had in his next life able to take birth as Narada Muni. So, anyway, something that I can pull out of the hat today. Any comment or questions? Yeah, Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your spontaneous class. It was nice. it was like you prepared. So I really appreciated your last point. Actually, all the points. I haven't really formulated a question because you answered my questions from even yesterday and today. Maybe you could expand on some of the points. Mm-hmm. But the last point you were mentioning is the greatest misfortune is to offend devotees. So even when we find devotees. And that reminds me of one verse in the Uddhava Gita that says the greatest charity is to give up all envy towards others. I think it's in chapter 13. And I really appreciated this verse because you were mentioning the Brahmana who became very angry at Haridas Thakur. And I thought this was funny because usually if we're humble as a blade of grass, then we don't care who's being honored more than us. It doesn't matter whether they're a lesha. So well, I appreciated this verse that says the greatest charity is to give up all envy towards others, because generally in our lives, it's very easy to be compassionate, friendly, and charitable to like homeless people or those who are inferior to us in so many abilities, you know. But to be friendly and charitable and nice to someone who's like Haridas Thakur, who's been honored more than oneself, now that's the difficult part, especially, and we could see that in the scriptures, like prostitutes, the prostitute Haridas Thakur saved was honored, you know, and she was in a superior position, you know, we'll become envious. And so there's one other pastime I'd like to mention is Gar. It's my favorite pastime now. It's kind of funny. And maybe you could expand on some of these points. regarding your point of not offending devotees, this pastime is from Anchalila chapter 5. Nobody will believe me if I don't reference it, but the chapter is titled How Pradyumna Mishra Took Instructions from Ramananda Roy. So basically the pastime is that Pradyumna Mishra wants to hear Krishna consciousness from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, don't hear Krishna consciousness from me, you know. I don't know as much as Ramananda Roy. So then this devotee wants to go hear from Ramananda Roy at the temple. And so, long story short, Ramananda Roy's servant told this devotee that, you know, Ramananda Roy, he'll be right with you, but right now he's training some dancing girls in how to dance. And afterwards, he's massaging their body, their naked bodies with oil, and etc. So then this devotee told Lord Chaitanya what he had heard in Ramananda Roy. And so Lord Chaitanya said, oh, yes, I already know that. You should still hear from him. He's a pure devotee. So basically, I thought this was a funny pastime because Lord Chaitanya says is that he doesn't think of himself as a man. He's not lust. He's actually thinking of himself in his original position as a gopi. And I thought this was funny that gopis do this to each other. And that's why these. But the whole lesson I learned is that as practicing devotees, we're not caught oiling girls, naked girls. We're only trying our best to distribute Krishna consciousness. And the lesson I got from this is that we shouldn't gamble. That's one of our practices, no gambling. So we shouldn't gamble with people's Krishna consciousness. So, of course, nobody, believe me, when I hear this pastime, have you heard this pastime before at all? Or no? You have?
How does that relate?
It relates to the point that, you know, this devotee, the brahmana you mentioned who became angry, he became angry at Haridas Thakur. Why? Because he judged his consciousness. He gambled with, so our process is no gambling with anyone's consciousness. And if we do, you know, Krishna may not give us leprosy like the brahmana, but he may give us the disease of dissatisfaction. Bahu jama kade yadi shravanam kirtana tabutana pai Krishna pade primada. So, I mean, like I said, you already answered my question. I'm not sure if you could expand on these points. The reason I mention these pastimes is because it's to highlight how kind of childish I feel like sometimes we could be in judging people's consciousness. Like you mentioned, the greatest misfortune is to, you know, offend devotees. But we should be grateful for whatever Krishna send us in our company. You know, and usually we criticize people either due to pride, envy, or vengeance. I mean, people are out here murdering each other, raping each other, blowing each other up, and still yet there's no peace. Why? You know, so that's why I like to highlight some of these pastimes, which we don't hear often, you know, because they're kind of extreme. I mean, we wouldn't hear from Krishna consciousness from somebody who's oiling naked girls, obviously. That's not possible. But Lord Chaitanya said, actually, he's a pure devotee, so don't judge his consciousness. So that's why I kind of mentioned these extreme pastimes, because we don't hear them often. The only thing we hear is
the principle is, there's one thing that is there that, you know, I mean, in the relationship with devotees, sometimes we may not understand, and sometimes we may have doubts, but when there is no malice in the heart, when there is no envy, you know, or some ill feelings, and it's more like, you know, confused, sometimes, you know, we don't understand. In the case of Pradyumna Mishra, it's not that he was a, you know, what was that? So in the case of Pradyumna Mishra, he just it was, you know, confused or doubtful, but he didn't have, you know, necessarily ill feelings. So, pretty disrupted, no? Yeah, maybe the class should be finished. Can you tell that guy to be quiet? Anyway, we should finish here. Probably. It's time. Karantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.